So you have this feeling of discontentment eating away at your heart. Try as you might, you just can't shake it. How to rediscover the contentment you once felt? That's the question. Well, it turns out that God has the answer. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome again to the program as today we take another look at your peace and contentment from a different perspective.
You've had that experience, right? Things are going along okay, but then something happens at home or at work, or maybe it's just something going on in your heart, and the contentment you once had, bingo, it's gone. Have you ever stubbed your toe? You know, whack, you hit your big toe on a brick or something, ouch, it hurts. The rest of your body's fine, your head's good, your eyes, your ears, your mouth, tick, arms and legs, fine, torso, nothing damaged, nothing hurting there. It's just this one little part of your body, your big toe, that is throbbing. And so despite the fact that every other part of you is fine, all your attention goes to your throbbing toe, and your sense of well-being has just evaporated in an instant. All the other good things that were going on around you are completely forgotten as you focus on your aching toe. Well, that's how it often is with our sense of contentment. You look around, the hilltops and the valleys, the nice sunny happy bits and the not-so-sunny unhappy bits, and your attention has this habit of focusing, of fixating, if you will, on the one thing that's not going well in your life. You've done it, I've done it. It's a really common thing that happens to us. If we weighed our whole life, all the blessings that God's given us in the overall scheme of things, we should be content. But you know, it's like that throbbing toe. We just can't get our minds off that one thing, and that one thing is robbing us of our contentment. It might be a bit of tension at work. Maybe you have a difficult boss or a peer who's been undermining you. Perhaps one of your children is going through a really difficult phase in their lives, or your wife or your husband isn't turning out to be all that you'd hoped for. Or maybe it's something really big and you feel like it's closing in on you, like you're in a dungeon. So what's the answer? How can you move from discontent to contentment? Well, I'd like to take you into a dungeon to show you how Paul and Silas did it. They'd healed a slave girl who had a spirit of divination, and as a result, people weren't too happy because the owners used to make money out of her. So the crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they'd given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. Well, about midnight, Paul and Silas are praying and singing hymns to God, and all the other prisoners were listening to them. But suddenly there's an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains fell off. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors were wide open, he drew his sword and he was about to kill himself because he thought that all the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Don't hurt yourself, we're all here." The jailer called for lights and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside saying, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your whole household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And at the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. Acts chapter 16, verses 22 to 34. So, Paul and Silas had done the right thing, but a crowd had attacked them because no good deed ever goes unpunished, right? They're arrested, they're severely flogged, they're thrown into prison, into the innermost cell, with their feet in stocks. There you go. That would be enough to rob you and me of our peace and contentment for the day, wouldn't it? I suspect that if we were in that prison cell with our wounds aching, we'd be angry or hurt or afraid, asking God what the blazes was going on, even sometimes shaking our fists at the Lord. That might be a natural reaction. But Paul and Silas, around midnight, we're told, were praying and singing hymns. Praying and singing hymns! Can you believe that? They were worshipping God. They were living through this misery with thankful hearts. And the rest is history. God came and busted them out of prison. There was such power in praise and thankfulness. When we rise above our circumstances, when we lift up our hearts and worship our Lord, He has the power to break us out of our prison of despair. The rest was history. The jailer was saved. He cares for them. He feeds them. He washes their wounds. His whole household is saved. And the next morning they're released. The single most unnatural act when we're in that dungeon with our feet in stocks is to praise God, to pray, to sing songs, to lift our hearts, to lift our eyes, to lift our hands heavenward and worship God. But that's exactly what we need to do, because that act of worship is music to God's ears. That act of worship from the heart is how we connect with the Lord amidst our desperate circumstances. That act of worship is what so often triggers a powerful intervention from God to change everything. The number of times in my life when I've been sitting in my usual chair in my study early in the morning facing this issue or that issue, and I've just taken Him at His word and started to worship Him and started to give thanks and started to praise Him, even though that's the last thing I felt like doing, the number of times He has come and broken me out of my prison cell of despair, well, I've just simply lost count. God shows up every time. I get up and I walk away from those encounters with a sense of joy and peace and contentment despite the circumstances. To me, it's like a miracle. How does God do that? I'm really not sure, but He does. He does it again and again and again. The way we move on from our discontentment is to worship God. It's that simple. And if you don't believe me, try it. It works. It happened to Paul a second time some years later. He was in a Roman prison, chained to his guard, waiting his death sentence. Now, this short passage from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 is going to be familiar to many. But there are two words that I bet you've glossed over, as I did for many years. Two words that change everything. Paul says, "Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Did you pick which two words I was talking about? With thanksgiving is the key. How often do we go to the Lord with a problem and we grumble and we complain as though He's some call center operator who can fix a problem in our bank accounts? I don't know, but I imagine He must get sick of the stinking attitudes from us over and over again as we grumble and complain. "Oh God, what are you doing?" His call is to go to Him with thanksgiving in our hearts, with thanksgiving on our lips, with a sense of wonder and anticipation of what He's going to do, with a sense of expectation over the good things He's going to do. And like any good dad, when he sees one of his kids coming to him with the right heart, with the right attitude, with an attitude of faith, he can't help himself. In His great and mighty heart, filled with boundless love for us, God can't help Himself. He has to act because He loves us. And just at the right time, He'll bust you out of your prison of despair and discontentment. He'll break the shackles that hold you. He'll set you free with joy and with peace and with contentment in your heart. He is such a wonderful God. He loves you so much. Go to Him with thanksgiving. Yeah, life can be hard work some days. And as that daily grind just kind of grinds away at us, it's easy to forget that Jesus died and rose again to give us victory. Victory over our sin and over our circumstances. Victory. That's why every video message that we record here at Christianity Works is available on our YouTube channel. The daily fresh devotional videos, the weekly in-depth half-hour Christianity Works teaching, and even some in-the-moment, close-to-the-action videos that I shoot now and then. They're all available on our YouTube channel at ChristianityWorks.tv. Just subscribe to the channel and you'll be notified each time a new video is posted. It's simply amazing how powerfully the Spirit of God can move even through just a short video message. I guess we shouldn't be surprised after all. The Word of God is alive and active. Amen. I'd love to encourage you to live your life in victory. So again, the web address of our YouTube channel is ChristianityWorks.tv. I'm Bernie Diamond. Catch you again, same time Monday, with a different perspective.